Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Ghost. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio, the only show broadcasting live from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
Yeah, man, let's get it on. What's up? Junkie Nation, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, live from the Racing Sportsbook here at the Mandalay. Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the Devious and Dastardly Goes, our East co-host, back east, producing, Jumbo Josh, starting things off, on deck, Andre the Giant. What's up?
What up?
What Not is?
Chilling like a villain. Looking forward to some of these games. Looking forward to doing some MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, May 16th, 2 days away from UFC on ESPN Plus 10, headlined by Rafael Dos Anjos and Kevin Lee. Your boys will be back on the Sportscaster, by the way. We'll talk more about that. In a bit. On today's show, we got two guests headed your way. Derek Krantz from PFL. He's going to be fighting next Thursday, a week from today, actually. And we also have Steven Seiler. Oh, excuse me. I got that backwards. Steven Seiler fights a week from Thursday, and Derek Krantz fights on Saturday. He's the guy that's slipping in for Neil Magny, who was flagged by a potential anti-doping violation.
You're going through the motions
courtesy
right now,
of
right?
USADA, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen is he's going to say, hell no, that wasn't me. Tainted supplement, blah, blah, blah. There's not
hey,
too
man,
many,
a lot of those come back, though.
There's not too many, like, TJ Dillashaw that goes, man, I was dumb, huh?
Yeah.
And then they do that their little deal. But
his was impossible, though, right?
TJ's?
Yeah, he had to come out and say he was dumb.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, Neil Magny's out of his fight versus Vicente Luque. And it sucks for Luque because Luque's, like, literally 7-1 in the UFC. And we all know he's got really good potential, but he needs that skin on the wall so that when you look on the wall, you go, you beat him?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you're for real. All right, now what? He doesn't have that yet. Magny would have helped. Magny's not top five, but Magny's been probably a top 10 guy for a while. He's got some other issues that need to be sorted out, allegedly. All right, so Derek Krantz is stepping in and we'll talk a little bit more about the card today. Tomorrow when Dan Tom's here, we'll do some previewing and some picks. UFC's in Rochester, so that's a pretty big deal for their continual support of the state of New York. Remember, that's a state, one of the last states that said, all right, MMA, do your thing here. I think MMA was either the last or the second to the last, and the UFC invested a lot of money, but the UFC has held true to their word, and they've gone back to many cities in New York, including multiple visits to Brooklyn and Manhattan for huge, huge cards. But they are spreading the love throughout the state.
At the cost of us. Thanks a lot, Josh.
I think it cost us probably about a pay-per-view per year, yeah.
I think it did. I didn't think it was at all.
Because remember, back in the day, I used to walk to the school in 5 miles of snow each way. No, I'm just kidding. We used to have Super Bowl Saturday.
Memorial
Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, and end of the year. And even then, we'd still sometimes get a surprise card on it somewhere in October or November. Well, Memorial Day's around the corner, and guess what? We're off. I can already tell you that right now. So, we would push back usually and say, well, how can we be off? We got to recap the so-and-so card. There is no card. Well, no major pay-per-view in the UFC. So that's been gone. And the Super Bowl one's been gone for a while, at least 5 years since I think we've done one of those. And what sucked is a lot of those were at Mandalay Bay. I think it would have gone anyway with the T-Mobile. The T-Mobile just disrupted everything. Labor Day has really been inconsistent as well. You can definitely count on International Fight Week, end of the year, both of those being in Las Vegas. And then what the UFC seems to do is give us something in March and something in October. So basically we become one per quarter versus one versus five or six times per year. So I think it cost us one or two, and I think New York's the main culprit.
Canada used to be the main culprit.
Canada, you could, Australia, Canada Sweden, would blame Brazil, Mexico, right? Brazil, yeah.
And then, yeah, Canada would blame Brazil. And then who blamed Australia? Brazil?
No, because Brazil's first visit was 2011. It just blew up then. Canada was before that. Then Mexico came along. Australia's been popping. So has Sweden. I keep saying Sweden, but
I thought Mexico would be more on the regular. I really thought it was going
to
be.
Well, we need that big Mexican-born star to hold the strap. Mm-hmm. Then I think it's on. But until that happens. But can you imagine if the Philippines got one of those?
Ooh.
Ireland got theirs. But they've only gone back to Ireland just a handful of times. Connor had, you know, the incredible run that he had. And he just didn't have, I guess. He needed a Scottie Pippen to his Jordan. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, so that when he wasn't fighting, the other guy was. He hasn't really had that. We've had Irish fighters, but nothing with the measure of success that Conor McGregor's had. All right, so you know who the guests are, and now let me give you some information vital to the show. You can call in and participate in the show by calling 877-FIGHT-93, 877-344-4893. You can hit us up on Twitter at MMA on SiriusXM. We have a couple pockets before these interviews hit us and in between the interviews. So at any point in time, if you holler at us, we will do our best to get you in. In fact, I guarantee you'll get in. Let's start off with some big news here. 48 hours ago, I think we came off, we talked a little bit about Anderson Silva. He lost to Jared Cannonier. He got kicked in the knee a couple times. And after the third or fourth, it buckled. And he went down and he was in pain. But it wasn't like as severe as the leg break he suffered to Chris Weidman.
Hell no.
But it was still enough to end the fight. Jared Cannonier wins. He's now 2-0 as a middleweight. Anderson Silva, we all wonder, well, how serious was it? Because could this be it? And it sounded like, no, it's not it. I still have a few more fights on my contract. I just got to heal up from this. You'll see me soon. 48 hours later, I log on to MMA Junkie. The title of this article is, Anderson Silva expresses serious doubts about fighting after UFC 237. Seems that he's had a chance to reflect, maybe, and really give it some serious thought.
Now he's starting to make some of the points that we were making. He's starting to sound more like we did the other day.
Yeah. Now, Anderson Silva does have, we always talk about life after fighting. If you have something set up, it's a lot easier to transition. Otherwise, you want to make sure you can get as many of those bags of money as you can. It's like robbing a bank. The cops are coming. All right, let's go to the safe. We usually don't go to the safe. But come on, this is the last one. You go on your surfing trip. And then you don't come back till the next season, right? Next bank robbing season. I'm going off Point Break, but you know what I mean. You hear the sirens, but you know you have a certain amount of time to get out of there. But you see a bag of money, and you have to decide, that takes me a second and a half to go back five steps, grab it, and take it with me. But in those 3 seconds, did those cops who are flying 80 miles an hour, are they that much closer to you? You know, you got to decide. And that's what Anderson Silva's doing. He's not necessarily robbing, but on the way out, he's trying to take as many bags of money as he can because he knows he's not going to suffer a really serious injury. The worst has already been past him.
Yeah.
This is a really safe sport. Doesn't get worse than that. He trains. When he trains, people punch him in the face. I'm sure he's been knocked out in training. In fact, I know he has. But this is in front of an audience where he gets paid a lot of money. So I really think that's what it is, Goes. It's just these guys are trying to scoop up bags of money as they run out and get in the getaway car. Anderson Silva is 44 years of age, and he's one of the greatest bank robbers ever. But can he do one more heist or two, and then that's it? I don't know.
I think he can.
That's what he's thinking. However, let me read you what he posted on Instagram, and then you, of the psychology degree, can tell me exactly what he's thinking. You ready?
Let's do it.
He says, "Hello, everyone. I'm constantly asking myself, what are each of us doing on this planet? If life is just about living for the sake of living the hours and minutes to the maximum, that is definitely not my motto. I have full conviction that there is a bigger meaning in everything that we live and do here. Life in this terrestrial plane has a bigger meaning than just living for the sake of living. I believe it's a constant search for evolution. In these 4 days, after yet another unsuccessful mission, I'm questioning whether I should or not keep training, dedicating myself, overcoming injuries, pain, etc. I wonder how many people are giving me the signal of that rotating hand, like, come on, come on.
Wrap it up.
Get to it. Yeah, wrap it up. But I'll continue. I ask myself always, is the love that I feel for my sport consuming my mind and my body to the point that I can no longer continue? Anyway, everything I've always done was to be a good soldier in my battlefield, the most well-trained, the most disciplined, and ready to die for my mission. Because my love for my job has always talked and still talks louder. I am totally certain that I can do all this another 1,000 times. But the last 4 days with pain and uncertainty, which are not new in my everyday life, are consuming more than before. Actually, my heart and my warrior mind confuse me to the point of creating doubts. On the one hand, I realize I'm not, and I don't need to be perfect. How much this search has brought me good things and bad things over the years. It's almost done. Why did I decide to tell you what I'm feeling? Because I believe that many of you who follow me like and admire my work, and on the other hand, I'm always trying to bring positive messages and motivation to all of you. Guys, what we really must do is take in all the opportunities that life gives us to improve ourselves as people. Therefore, always remember that failures are your best teachers and that it's in the hard moments that people need to find reasons to keep going forward. Our actions, especially when we need to overcome ourselves, make us better people. Our ability to resist and stay on path is what makes us special people.
I think he's looking for one, I could tell you right now, I think he's coming back based on what he said.
Oh.
I really do. I think what that is, and I'm not trying to disparage him in any way. People do this all the time. I think he just wants a pat on the back. Just, come on, Anderson. You're the best. You'll always be the best. I think he's trying to gauge what the reaction is from his fans.
Like a teenage girl that posts on Instagram.
A little bit.
Just going back to see how many likes there are.
Yeah, so it's like her in a bikini, and she's like, look at the Luxor behind me. And she knows damn well nobody's looking at the Luxor. I think he just wants to see what people's reactions are.
But you think he still has something in the tank?
Yeah.
All right. I ask you again. Do you want to see him fight again?
I don't mind. As a fan, I don't mind watching him. Business-wise, I don't know if that still makes sense for the UFC. But I wouldn't mind watching him. I would actually show interest in watching him fight somewhere else. And matching up against some of these
like
other
the winner
fighters.
Of Chael and Lyoto? Like, if you heard that they signed him and that he was going to fight the winner of Chael and Lyoto, you'd be down?
If he would fight Lyoto, yeah. Yeah, I'd be okay with it. You know who more? I would want to see him fight in one championship and watch him fight Vitor. I'd do something like that. Hmm. Or go up
actually,
and,
I
go
keep
up and
forgetting
fight Tito.
Musasi's the actual champion over there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so why does that attract you, I guess, as a fan? That, yeah, I'll watch him fight Vitor or Tito. Like,
because I don't really – there's nothing to it for me to watch him put someone else over. Because
I can tell you right now, if he fights Tito – usually, let's say that fight's made, and usually if somebody goes, hey, man, on Saturday, I got 2 tickets, want to go, blah, 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 fill in the blank. Usually I'm going, no, man, I can't. The fight's. Now, usually it's my polite way of saying I didn't want to go to your concert anyway. But, no, really, it's my work. It's my job. You got to have a good reason for me to skip that.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't need much of a reason for me to skip Anderson versus Tito. Like,
really? I would go see that.
Especially if you're getting me to pay for it. I'm not going to pay for it.
Man, when I hear both the songs and all that, I'd be so into it.
But there's just, like, the stakes aren't there. Like,
but it's not there for both of them.
I know. I don't know.
If he wins in the UFC against somebody.
If they had bad blood, perhaps. But the fact that there's no bad blood.
Well, he's got it with Vitor.
Well, I was going off Tito. All right, Vitor. Vitor in one championship.
Yeah, you write that big kick for Vitor. How many times does he have to see that? Every time there's a UFC pay-per-view.
I'd have to put a bet on it. I could sleep through that.
Really? Hmm.
Other than, like, hey, I know on Monday I got to come in here and talk about it.
I don't feel like it's Tito Chuck. I feel like it's on a notch above that. It's better than that.
All right. Well, if you want to chime in, it's 877-593, 877-344-4093. In fact, Mike in Connecticut wants to chime in. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
One thing I got to say first before I chime in. You guys are so much better than Luke Thomas. Oh, you don't have to respond. I know he's your comrade and all that stuff. So much better.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
thing,
that.
Yeah. Second thing is I think I agree 100% that this is a cry for attention. And not to, like, downplay it because he is hurt and his legs seem to be made of glass. But I think he'll come back and this is – yes, absolutely a way to see who's supporting him and who's behind him. And then aside from that, I think he needs to retire because there's only so much damage he can take, and the more damage he takes, the more losses he's going to rack up. Retire on top, man. That's how I feel.
Okay, thank you for the call.
You know the thing is?
Hang up and chime in.
All right, thank you, sir.
I feel like that time passed to retire on top. Yeah. I really feel like these last couple losses have damaged him a little bit to now where he's at the point where he's kind of lost that. Like, every time we say the GOATs, we bring up his name because we're so used to bringing
but
up his name.
But he gets eliminated quickly.
He gets eliminated quickly.
So does Penn,
I think he realizes that. So I think he kind of passed that time, and now he's just – it's just all about paper, making money.
So, yeah, I firmly believe that too.
He can be competitive. But there's no way he's going to put that together for three, four fights, five fights, whatever it takes in the UFC.
If he had a run in the UFC and Pride where they treated him with respect and he was given a lot of, you know, benefits when he was at the top, then I think he doesn't mind putting some of these young guys over, giving them an opportunity. If they went off his name, okay. But a lot of fighters, I mean, they are bitter, and that's why they're cashing and grabbing those last money bags. And they leave the sport, and you don't hear too much about them or whatever. I look like a guy like Michael Bisping. He's retired. He loves the UFC. He won't miss the UFC. It's not just because they – not them, but because ESPN or Fox or anybody used to pay them. He really loved doing it. The right opportunity came. And so he doesn't leave with as much of a bitter taste in his mouth. But I think Anderson was treated well, and I think that's why some of these will sting, but – I think he can still – the martial artist in him, the values that he has, probably knows, okay, I'm not performing at my best and maybe I have other opportunities. You know, that again, that's hard to defy because I still feel like the dollar is what makes people tick, especially as you get older. You want to make sure, wow, did I make enough? Am I ever going to make this much more money than what I make by fighting, you know, mixed martial arts and what these guys pay me? Mm-hmm. All right. So I feel like he's not done, but I think, like, the next one could be it. Whereas before, if he said, I still got four fights on my contract, I probably would have thought to myself, yeah, he'll probably finish him out because he's not really getting thumped, per se, and knocked unconscious.
That could benefit the UFC. If he comes out and he says that, I'm going to do it one more, but this is the last one, that's a ticket seller, I think.
Think about a fight that would make sense for him. Think about a fight that would make sense for him. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation Channel 156. Also, we'll talk about Neil Magny and why he's out and why we'll be talking to Derek Krantz in about 15 minutes. And we'll be right back literally in 2 minutes.
We are the nation of domination.
Fight Nation, domination, they go hand in hand. We bring the fight to you on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Destroy you. Just ask three.
What are we doing with this?
Who are they, you ask? My point exactly. They are Gorgeous George and Gomez. And this is MMA Junkie Radio.
Andre, what the hell's going on?
Sorry, this computer just crashed on me. I just rebooted it and it kind of messed everything up. So, yeah.
I will say this. That's probably as good as an excuse or a comeback you can get.
Yeah.
Because right? It really happened, man.
But if that was his first time, I go, oh, that shit happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Partner.
No, he's got one more life.
Like a week ago?
He's got this was his second life. Now on the third one, you can torch him. no matter what happens.
All right. I wouldn't be mad if Josh came up from behind and just put a pie in his face.
No, he was here when this computer crashed, so he knows the struggle.
Would you take a pie in the face, though?
Yo,
of
course.
Or was that excessive?
Of course.
George owes a pie in the face to Melvin Gillard still.
I do, but I think we're years removed from that one.
Yeah, you better remind him before you do that shit.
Tonight at 9 Eastern, the Portland Trailblazers look to even the series with the Golden State Warriors in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Enjoy all the thrilling play-by-play on NBA Radio, Sirius 207, XM86, and streaming on your phone and at home on Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. By the way, the Golden State Warriors are playing without Kevin Durant. He strained his calf in the third quarter of Game 6 versus the Houston Rockets.
Right.
No, Game 5 versus the Houston Rockets. That means they went into the fourth quarter without Kevin Durant. Now, if they went into the fourth quarter without Kevin Durant but a 20-point lead, I would not make this point. It was tied, Goes. So the Rockets had to play the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant. And last year, they were competitive when they had Kevin Durant, and they didn't have Chris Paul. Instead, the Rockets lose that game and then go home a full game without the Warriors not having Kevin Durant and lose that.
But I told you what the record
is.
So
the Rockets are bye-bye. Now, Portland comes in hot off a series against Denver Nuggets. Yeah, they got some injuries too, but they just beat the Denver Nuggets. They go in the Golden State, and they got waxed. Now it's game 2. They need to win this game, or that's over. Western Conference, what more do you want? You're catching the Warriors without Kevin Durant. I mean, enough already. Do something. The Warriors may be okay with just resting Durant until they figure out who wins between Toronto and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just shaking my head over here. But you got to tip your hat to the Warriors because they're doing all this without Kevin Durant, and that's pretty amazing, honestly. Pretty amazing. All right, so Derek Krantz is going to join us in a few minutes. He's stepping in for Neil Magny. Neil Magny was forced out of his UFC fight night card, He was in the co-main event against Vicente Luque. And the reason is because he got an email from USADA, you know, the whole alleged anti-doping violation. Let me read you what Neil Magny said. I just came here to read to people, apparently, today. But this is the easiest way to do it. This is what Neil Magny posted on his gram. At Neil Magny. No, at Neil underscore Magny 170. Luckily, I went to private school, Andre, so I have no problem doing these reads. I can sound out the big words.
Hey.
As many of you know, I had to withdraw from my scheduled bout against Vicente Luque on Saturday, May 18th. I want to apologize to him, as I know how difficult it is to lose an opponent days out from a fight. Throughout my MMA career, I have been very transparent. I'm not afraid to admit when I am in the wrong. On Saturday, May 11th, 2019, I received an email from USADA stating that I've been flagged due to an, quote, out-of-competition drug test, end quote. The flag was due to a metabolite of the substance dehydroxy LGD 4033. I have fully cooperated with USADA thus far to determine how this substance was found in my sample I provided them on May 5th, 2019. I have always been an advocate of a strict drug testing in the UFC, even to the extent of opting for my collected samples to be used for research purposes by USADA. I know without a doubt that I have done everything in accordance with the standards set by USADA. I have faith in USADA that the situation will be resolved in a timely manner and that I will be cleared of any wrongdoing. To all my fans and supporters, thank you. I assure you that I have not let you down. That's a pretty strong statement. And I don't know him personally, but I know that this is his first time. So you know what? I actually, if I were to comment on his gram, I'd just go, hey, let us know when this gets resolved. But I'm leaning more towards innocent versus guilty, whereas usually I raise my eyebrow and go, uh-huh, yeah, right. But for some reason, I take him at his word.
It was the way he said it, the timing of it. He kind of won me over. When you read the headline, you go, again, another one. And then when you read what he has to say, you kind of go, all right. I'll be patient. I'll sit over here in the corner and see this out. You kind of won me over.
Right. Yeah. So, anyway, that's kind of the update there. All right, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Anderson Silva, and who do you think Anderson Silva goes should face if and when he was to come back?
Uriah Hall.
You know, that's not bad. Even though Hall's younger, Hall has been through kind of a on and off, win, lose, win a couple, lose type of run, where he doesn't really disrupt what's happening at the top of the division, but yet he's still a big enough name, and he's also got a skill set where you know him and Silva would put on a show. So
you have to give the public.
I won't even bother, I guess, saying, oh, yeah, well, guess what I came up with, because that one's hard to top. I don't really want to see Diaz part two.
Oh, hell no.
We're not trying to get Hendo or Bisping out of retirement. I mean, you know, usually I would think about another older guy. If Vitor was around, maybe Vitor part two. But, yeah, no, I think you nailed it. Uriah Hall would be a good one.
You have to give the public an option or a side of a fight where they think both guys can win. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just a setup type fight. And if you're Anderson Silva, that's probably what you want, right? The dude to stand right in front of you, that's Uriah Hall. That's all. That's him all day. He'd love to stand in front of you and bang. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, you're right. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Derek Krantz, UFC welterweight, stepping in for Neil Magny as he faces Vicente Luque this Saturday, UFC on ESPN Plus 10. It's an ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus offering. We'll sort all that back when we come back and talk to Derek. Stay close.
Put excellence and excitement in your Vitamix. Add ice, and you get MMA Junkie Radio.
Don't forget, on Saturday, it's UFC on ESPN Plus 10. Your boy here and Goz are going to be on the Sportscaster doing our thing like we have the past few weeks. We'll be watching along with you, Junkie Nation, so check out www.sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. We'll be calling the fights with you as you watch them. Kevin Lee, Rafael Dos Anjos at the top. Stepping in for Neil Magny is Derek Krantz. He'll be facing Vicente Luque. Now, Vicente Luque and Neil Magny was the co-main event, but this one is now slotted in the third fight of the night. But they're still on the main card, which is on ESPN Plus. The prelims are also on ESPN Plus. So there's no doubt. I don't care how much you resist. If you love MMA, you got to get ESPN Plus at this point because there's a lot of content on there. All right, let's get back to our guest. It's Derek Krantz. He joins us now on the hotline. What's up, Derek? How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks for joining us here on MMA Junkie Radio. And before we get to your fight, you got to settle a bet for us. You ready?
Okay.
I feel like between now, well, when you were born, well, no, actually the bet was sometime in his schoolyard days. So let's say something like first to high school goes. Is that good?
Dude, I'll even give you kindergarten.
All right, from kindergarten to high school, at some point, some dumbass kid in one of your classes called you Ants in Your Pants Krantz. Go says no, we bet Chipotle over it. What's the answer?
Yeah, that's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Really? Thank no you. One called you Ants in Your Pants Krantz?
Nope. The pattern is full. He said
no.
It.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were like, you were D-Rock since age five and no one budged off that one?
Well, I was biting cheeks off in kindergarten. Nobody messed
Damn,
with me.
Who are you, Max Katie? In kindergarten?
Oh, so you, right. You were the tough guy in the class, so no one came at you then, huh?
I grew up rough. I had to learn the hard way.
You know what? That makes sense, though, because in kindergarten, right. you still haven't really figured out how the world works. So injuries in kindergarten are way worse than later on.
Right. But
that's where
you
pick up a chair and you just hit another kid because he took your pudding cup or something.
I get that. But what I'm saying is
Take a rock and bust a kid's eye open and he gets like 16 stitches.
It doesn't matter.
Did that really happen, D-Rock? You threw a rock?
Yeah, that happened in first grade.
All right, man, I love street fight stories. I can't believe I'm asking for one from the first grade, but how did that go down?
Oh, man, we were running out of on the playground, and I saw a rock fly over my head, so I picked up the biggest one and threw it into a crowd of people and hit
Damn.
Someone.
Did you at least hit the guy that allegedly threw the one at you?
No, kid? I probably hit the softest kid in class.
Oh, wow. And what happened? He just got stitches across his eyebrow or something like that, or below the eye?
Yeah, I got expelled.
Is that where D-Rock was born?
I guess you could say that's where D-Rock was born. I like to give it credit to my fans.
I got to give this intel to Ben Folks, who judges the best and the worst nicknames on every card, I believe. And if he hears about this, he won't grade D-Rock as stern as he would have. But let me go back to Ants in Your Pants. Ants in Your Pants is so silly that I could see like his Pop Warner coach, come on, hurry up, Ants in Your Pants. You got Ants in Your Pants, Krantz. I could see a coach saying it. I could see a little girl saying it. It didn't just have to be a little boy that was scared to stand up to D-Rock. It could have been anybody. Come on, it's too easy. Ants
you
in
know
Your
why
Pants, Krantz.
I was so sure.
I don't remember it. And
you're costing me Chipotle here, D-Rock. Think about it.
I'm probably going to get blasted with it now.
He's going to throw a rock at you. Look, dude, this is why I was so confident. Because we're of a different era.
Right.
And Ants in Your Pants was more your era and a little bit of mine. It was played out by the time he came around.
Yeah. Well, he's 9 years younger than you and 18 years younger than me. So maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, before you hang up on us, you're probably thinking, is this fucking Romper Room Radio or what? No, this is MMA Junkie Radio, and we're anxious to talk to you, Derek. Hey, look, first of all, tip of the hat, you're stepping in on short notice. That can't be easy, especially when they told you it was Vicente Luque standing on the other side of the octagon. I don't need to tell you this, but he's an awesome fighter. But what made you say, fuck yeah, man, I'll do this. I can take Vicente Luque.
I was in shape and I was on weight. You know, I have full confidence in my abilities. Don't matter who it is. So it was an opportunity that presented itself, and I wanted to take full advantage of it.
So you knew there was a lot to gain, and it was worth the risk, even though you didn't have a full, let's say, an 8 to 10 specific week camp for this guy.
Hey, I got 5 days notice. That sometimes it works out better. I don't have this dude in my head or nothing. I don't have none of that self-doubt going on. I'm running off a good win, and I'm confident my mind's right, so he should be worried about that.
Two-part question. What do you weigh now, and what did you weigh when you took the call?
I was 190 when I took the call, and I'm a little over 10 pounds out.
That's not bad. All right. Derek Krantz, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. He's fighting Vicente Luque on Saturday. You can see him on the main card on ESPN+. The main event that night is Rafael Dos Anjos versus Kevin Lee. And I'll tell you another thing. Listen to his voice. He sounds calm and confident. Doesn't sound like anybody that's got his back to the wall because of the situation that he's in. He's taking this fight on 5 days' notice, folks. Mm-hmm. All right, Goes, what do you have for Derek Krantz?
Derek, whenever we talk to a fighter that is in this situation, the answer is usually the same. Like, as soon as they asked me, I said, hell yeah, let's do it. But then behind the scenes, when you talk to them, they kind of go, well, I needed to know where my weight was first. I needed to know where this fight was going to be. How many of those check marks are you hitting? Like, was it really like, let's do it? Or how many questions did you ask before
this is how it played out. I just got done training. I just got out of the shower. I got one thing on my mind, and that's Chipotle. I'm literally fixing to go eat me a big old meal at Chipotle. And I look at my phone, look down at my phone, and I see a text from my manager, and he was asking me if I could make 170 for a fight this Saturday. And I immediately dropped what I was doing, just undressed right there on the spot, walked to the scale, and checked my weight, and then went right back to the phone and told him I could make weight.
What if he would have texted you after Chipotle? Would that have changed anything?
Would have you been 194?
I would have changed everything.
He was going to double up on the steak and chicken and extra rice and beans. What's your order at Chipotle, by the way? Take us through it.
All right, I like the brown rice, black beans, vegetables, double steak, mild, medium, hot, corn, sour cream, and cheese.
Wait, you get mild, medium, and hot? You get all the sauces?
I want every bit of that flavor.
Wow. Gangster.
Oh, man. This guy's my hero now.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is when you have something set in your mind that that's what your next meal is going to be, to have to stop and not get it?
Nothing's stopping me. I'm sending everyone to voicemail. I'm not taking no call. Hey, by the way, did he specify you FC, or did he just say, can you fight on Saturday? Like, how much info did he actually give you?
I want to say he specified the UFC. I'd have to look at the message. So, but first he wanted to know if I could make weight. And then once I told him I could, then he told me we got a last minute replacement for the UFC opponent, Vicente. And I was like, hell yeah. I had to look him up because I've never seen him fight or anything. So I watched.
Really? You haven't heard of Vicente Luque?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, Derek, usually you're a big pressure fighter. Does the fact that it's like on short notice, what does that do to strategy in fights for you?
No, it's got to stay the same, man. I know Vicente, he's going to do the same thing. You know, he's a forward fighter. And, people who are really comfortable going forward aren't very comfortable moving backwards, you know. So it's, you know, openings will come available, and that's the way I'm attacking it.
If you saw Vicente Luque on the reality show, he was only 7-5-1 back then. Since then, he's gone 8-1. He's gotten really, really good. His only loss is to Leon Edwards. But I guess my question's more, you haven't heard of him because you don't really follow the sport too closely, or is he just one of the guys that slipped through the cracks, you know, so much MMA out there?
I would guess it was a little bit of both. You know, I'm a father, you know, a husband. I'm a coach. Matter of fact, I was getting my team. We have five fighters fighting in Shreveport this Friday, and I was actually getting them all ready for their fights and getting their weight in check and looking forward to cornering them this Friday. And this is not how I expected my week to play out.
That's the team 515 that I'm reading about here. That's your squad.
Yep, that's my squad.
Oh, nice, man. And how deep do you guys roll? How many pro fighters and AMI fighters are on Team 515?
We got 6 pros and at least 15, 20 amateurs.
Okay. Wow. And you're the head coach or just one of the coaches?
No, I'm just one of the coaches. I'm training partner / jiu-jitsu coach. I'm the only black belt in the gym right now.
Wow. And you got some knockouts, too. So you can get it done on the feet. You can get it done on the ground. And you've got 33 fights. So you've made that walk many a times. This will be your debut in the UFC. But it's not like you're short on experience.
No. Yeah, I feel very confident with my power. And I'm very confident with my submissions. I've finished probably 19, 20.
I saw that. Yeah, you have a high finishing rate.
Yeah, so I'm pretty good at noticing a finish and getting after it. I feel like that's one of my strong points. Obviously so is Vicente's. I mean, he's got 8 finishes in his last 8 bouts, so I mean that's impressive as well.
Yeah. Well, this could be a big upset. We're based here in Las Vegas. We actually broadcast from a sports book. And if you're curious, I'll tell you this. You already know, I'm sure, you're the underdog. You're coming in. Not many people are aware of you. And Vicente Luque's, you know, been doing this for a while. He's at minus 800. You're at plus 550. But, like I say, I take a look. And like Go said, you're a pressure fighter. You go forward. You look for the finish. And you, like I say, your demeanor sounds like you're very, very calm and not intimidated at all. And who knows, man? That's when some of the biggest upsets have taken place in this sport.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it.
I had to look up where Marshall, Texas is. You guys are on the east, northeast kind of Texas, right?
Yeah, we're east Texas. We're 40 minutes west of Shreveport.
Man, I drove through that area once. It's pretty country there, right? It's not very urban.
It ain't too bad. I mean, the population is almost 30.
30,000
Chipotle, George.
I was going to say.
You do have a Chipotle, huh?
I mean, they got one of those.
So as long as you have to drive 4 hours to Dallas to get a Chipotle or nothing?
No, we got a Chipotle in Longview, which is where Longview MMA is, Team 515, and that's about 20 minutes away from my house.
All right. Well, listen, I know you're 3 hours ahead. That makes it almost 9 p.m., and you got to weigh in the morning. So we'll keep it short. But, hey, you've been a ton of fun to talk to. This is our first time having you, but seriously, like I say, you sound like you're very, very, very prepared for this fight, despite the 5-day notice. So we wish you the best of luck with the weight cut. And, of course, on Saturday, go out there and do your thing and have some fun, Derek. You know what I mean? Enjoy it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. And, dude, just letting you know, God is good, man. God is good.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the time, Derek. Take care. All right, folks. That's Derek Krantz at D-Rock Krantz MMA. Ants in your pants.
Nope.
He's scared it might catch on. I might thank him on via Twitter. Thanks for the time, Ants in your pants, Krantz. If I get one retweet, it'll start to catch on a little.
I wanted to catch on just because I want to hear Bruce Buffer have to say it.
Ants in your pants, Krantz?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if you could do it without
everybody
laughing.
Everybody would laugh and giggle, but they'd not at him with them. They'd go, oh, that's silly, but I get it.
If he's him, then he's got to, like, shimmy, right? As he's saying that or something, like there's ants in his pants?
Kind of, yeah. But then again, that D-Rock story, that's what led to him being D-Rock. I mean, I don't want that to get out. I don't want little kids in first grade thinking it's okay to just wing a rock at people. But sounds like someone came at him. He just made the bad decision of throwing it into the crowd. But
a sniper went at him, and he came back with a bazooka, right?
Kind of.
He said, I'm just taking everyone out.
Kind of, yeah. All right, that was fun. That was fun to talk to Derek Krantz. Good luck against Vicente Luque. Luque's a stud. I don't mean to make it sound like Krantz, you know, has no chance or anything like that. It's just that Luque really is one of those guys that I've had to take a hard look at when I do the rankings on the weekends, because he's just on a roll. Remember his last fight? That was a Barbarina fight. So I took a lot of that emotion. Just I was really, really stoked, and I felt like that fight, whether you knew him or not, you had to know him after that fight. But seriously, he's 8-1 in the UFC since the reality show, and prior to that, he was 7-5-1. So you look at his record, 14-6-1. You're like, okay, is he really that good? No, just pay attention to the 8-1. He's solid.
What if his nickname was In Your Ladies?
Jesus.
In Your Ladies Pants Krantz.
I'd laugh at that one, too. That'd be pretty funny. That'd be pretty bold. But, yeah. All right. We're going to take our last break. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation Channel 156. We'll be back in a couple minutes. 2 to be exact. We're going to do our daily debate.
Champions, Hall of Famers, legends. The very best coverage of the fight game is right here on Sirius XM, Fight Nation, Channel 156.
Abducted by aliens and instantly returned for raiding all their snacks. They are Gorgeous George and Goz. And this is MMA Junkie Radio.
Is that like the song you would want as you're pulling into the girl's driveway? First date? And you're wondering if you're going to get a kiss or not?
I would want her to be hearing that off the as engine. I'm walking up.
Hmm?
I would want her to be hearing that as I'm walking towards
the door. Oh, as you're walking up. The date hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the date's concluded yet.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You kind of had a good night, but then all of a sudden you just like, you're in the middle of the story, you pull in, and you're listening. Let's listen to a little music and finish that story, and then all of a sudden, boom, that hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
It's a done deal.
You got dudes lean over, and it is a done deal. All right. Thank you very much to Derek Krantz for his time. Literally, he's probably in a bathtub maybe when he was talking to us. They have to weigh in early morning over there. It's a 3-hour time difference. So, but I thought he came off well. Like if you told me he's going to be on in a few weeks, I'd be like, cool, let's do it. Who do we have to thank for lining that one up?
Ed Kapp.
All right,
tip of the cap for him.
Yep. All right, now I think is a perfect time for us to do our daily debate.
The brothers Garcia seemingly can't agree on anything.
Everybody knows it's duck season.
Rabbit season.
Duck season.
Rabbit season.
Whether it's food.
Less filling.
Tastes great.
Less filling.
Tastes great.
Gambling.
Always bet on black.
I like red.
Black.
Red.
Black.
Red.
Black, dummy.
Or even social media.
Instagram.
Snapchat.
Instagram.
Snapchat.
The same applies to the biggest stories in MMA. Time for MMA Junkie Radio's Daily Debate.
Today's hashtag daily debate question for at MMA Junkie Radio. Which former UFC champion with a title fight booked at this moment has the best chance to reclaim gold? Frankie Edgar. As you all know, he signed on to fight Max Holloway at UFC 240 on July 27th. Holly Holm. As you all know, she's going to fight Amanda Nunes on July 6th, UFC 239. Stipe Miocic. He just signed on to fight Daniel Cormier, UFC 241 in Anaheim on August 17th. Wow, those are three great champions, but we got to pick someone. Basically, you know what? We're not picking who we think has the best chance to win. We're almost saying this is the champion I think has the biggest chance of choking in the big fight. But anyway, we don't really mean that way. These are six great fighters. Who'd you pick, Goz?
I'm going with Frankie Edgar, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I feel like Frankie Edgar is getting a fighter in Max Holloway that just took one of the biggest beatings he's ever taken in his life.
To Dustin Poirier?
He's getting it right after that. Frankie is a difficult matchup when you look at how fast he moves, the way he can mix in his takedowns, his striking, he's in and out. He's kind of a nightmare for a guy like Max Holloway. My number two would have been Stipe Miocic. He's going up against one of the GOATs. Rather roll the dice with Frankie Edgar.
Holly Holm has no chance?
She has a chance, but not enough for me to pick.
What is Amanda's biggest strengths?
Hits hard. She's tough. She doesn't close her eyes. She just comes forward.
Right. But she throws hands, right? That's kind of her biggest weapons. What was Holly Holm a champion of before she came over to the UFC?
Kickboxing. Don't do it. We're boxing.
Boxing?
Don't do it.
And she kickboxed her way to a few nice big wins, highlight reel wins in Legacy.
Don't do it.
And she's got experience. She's fearless.
I'm warning you.
She fought Ronda. She's fought Cyborg. So she's not walking in there scared. She's basically trying to figure out, are my hands going to be better than her? I think she might be more technical than Amanda Nunes.
Technical, yeah. But I don't feel like – she's the type of girl that Amanda can just watch tape on and be prepared for. I think Ronda kind of took that fight. She just really thought she was Ronda. She was going to run through everyone, and I think she caught her by surprise. But in this case, Amanda Nunes has just been prepared for everything. I mean, put Valentina Shevchenko in front of her twice. She's a hell of a striker, and you put up with it. Valentina gave her good fights, but it was never enough.
You know, Amanda Nunes, I still don't think she gets enough credit for that one calf kick she threw at Cyborg. I feel like that's what made Cyborg go a little berserk sooner than she needed to. That's just something that the American top team really, really pushes. And I feel like that may be something she can also come into play against Holly Holm. I'm also with you. I think Frankie Edgar is a bad matchup for Max Holloway because of the wrestling and how he's committed to it. And once he gets you down, his ground and pound is very solid. There's a lot of fighters where you're like, okay, if he gets him down now, what? Advance his position, look for dominant positions, blah, blah, blah. Frankie Edgar is very comfortable with just beating the shit out of you if he's on top. Plus, you made another good point, and that's Max Holloway's just in a war. So, I don't know. But I'm also with you. I just think Holly Holm's the second one, second choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty close between the two. And Stipe Miocic would be my third choice because DC...
He's
as long as he's not too
DC.
Distracted by the whole John Jones deal, he's just vanquished anybody you put in front of him with the exception of John Jones.
I think if we put a gun to your head, you would not give that response.
If I put a gun to your head, you're not taking Daniel Cormier over Stipe Miocic?
If you put a gun to my head, my first choice is Frankie.
Yeah.
The next one is Stipe. Yeah. And then it's Holly.
No, I'm going Frankie, Holly, Stipe.
But if I put a gun to your head, I don't think you're saying that. I think you're being cute right now for them. But I think if I put a gun to your head, you're not going to say that.
All right, you got me. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Amanda's a beast. All right. Look, almost 1,000 votes came in, and the voting's going to end in about 2 minutes. So I think I'm pretty safe to say almost 1,000 votes came in. But this is how it came down, Goz. 65% said Stipe Miocic.
Damn.
That was our number three. That was their number one. 24% said Holly Holm. Only 11% of Junkie Nation thinks that Frankie Edgar has a chance to upset Max Holloway. That was a result that surprised me a little bit. Shout out to @MailmanMatt. He says, can't see it working out for any of them. Jimmy from the 570, and his Twitter handle is NE+UltraX100. He says, none of the above. So not much confidence in any of them had we put none of the above. That's the Daily Debate brought to you by the MMA Junkie Radio team. All right. We will be back here in about 60 seconds. This is the quickest break you'll ever hear. I don't even know if you have enough time to open a beer and go to the restroom. So you might as well just sit there and wait because we'll be back in 60 seconds. MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, Channel 156.
mantles are covered with participation awards. They have boxes of gold stars that they purchase themselves. They are the legends and demand your respect. Here are George and Goes.
You're welcome, Junkie Nation. That's my choice as well.
Oh, yeah?
ZZ Top.
I was going to say this might be the song that's playing when I'm walking to the door.
Is it? No, I'm just kidding. Andre the Giant chose that one, but that's one of my favorite songs. I grew up with the ZZ Top videos. All right. Showtime from Tennessee. Sorry about that, partner. Now's a good time to hit us back if you want. Right now, we're going to take Kevin from Chicago. If you want to follow Kevin from Chicago, it's 877-344-4893. What's up, Kevin? What in the world of wrestling would you like to talk about?
Not wrestling. Anderson Silva. As long as the UFC is going to keep paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars, then I don't blame him for coming back and taking that money. I mean, a guy like Klitschko, if he came back, they would be offering millions. I mean, $20 million, some ridiculous amount. Anderson Silva, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I feel like the UFC should put their foot down and not, all right, you had your run, but they're just going to keep milking him for all he's worth. I think they should get rid of him. I think you got to just put your foot down. With BJ Penn, you got to call it a day. Minotauro, even though he had a win, I feel like he should have been retired. Man, the UFC just keep milking these old guys for their name value. I don't like it. But I did
want
to talk about...
Shoot me straight, though. Shoot me straight. This past Saturday, on that card, were you more glued to Guida versus Penn or Luana Carolina versus Priscilla Cachoeira?
Well, I don't really like too much female MMA, but I would have loved to see
all right.
Ultimate Fighters.
All right. Were you more glued to Guida versus Penn or Holabaugh versus Moises?
Holabaugh versus Moises.
Shut
definitely.
Up.
That
no, you
really...
weren't. How about Penn and Guida versus Barcelos and Joaquin? Which one were you more glued to?
Which one?
Was anybody going, Barcelos, or was anybody going, Joaquin? I mean, everybody was screaming, BJ. There's still something about the star that value that these guys carry, and if they're willing to make the money, and they've already looked after themselves, and it's safe for them to fight, and the promotion can promote a card or get ratings off them, what's the problem?
Is it worth $200,000 though?
The UFC runs a tight ship, and I imagine they wouldn't do it. I mean, they signed a guy to a contract; they got to live up to the contract if the fighter's willing to go.
You know what I would do?
What?
You already pulled off one trade. Talk to another organization about a second one.
That's interesting. All right, but I got to say, I enjoyed Penn and Guida. I really did. I enjoyed it more than, and I kid you not, more than Araujo versus Bernardo. Barcelos versus Joaquin, Carolina versus Cachoeira. Moraes and Alves was pretty good because Moraes was hanging in there just enough, but Alves just looked impressive. I enjoyed it more than Moises versus Holabaugh. And right about Spann and Nogueira, I was like, okay, I get it. You know, like, you know, Nogueira also, I guess, is pretty special. And we know Ryan Spann could be, you know, part of the future. Aldana versus Correa, I think I enjoyed Guida and Penn more watching that as well. Now, Staropoli versus Alves was pretty violent. And then after that, yeah, I have nothing to say. But I guess there's just – look, part of me is also playing the other side, the devil's advocate. There's something still there. I heard the chants, the Hawaiian music, Clay Guida getting slapped. Like, that was cool. That was one where you said, no, honey, I'll take the trash out after this fight. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that resonates in many different ways, whether it's traffic, a spike in traffic, a spike in Google alerts, anything that alerts the UFC to a possibility and how they can make some money. I don't know. I think that's the equation there. Because otherwise, you're right, they wouldn't pay these guys money if they didn't have to. That card didn't need Guida and Penn, that's for sure. But they needed to place these guys somewhere. Jesus, is that Scott Holloway? I thought that was Paul Felder walking up.
I can't really see. Is it that kid over there?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
I don't think so, though.
I think it is.
Is it?
I just gave – yeah. Somebody came up to the studio here, and I just kind of gave a hello. Huh. But as I looked, I think that might be listener Scott from Minnesota from like 10 years ago. who used to be a really, really thin dude, but now he looks like he's packed on some muscle. For a second there, I thought he was Paul Felder. Anyway,
that's a compliment.
I mean, what do you think, Goz?
I think it's too much money for a guy that's not. I mean, if you were to announce this as his last fight, yeah, I could see people.
But that would
buying
look terrible if
that.
They said, "Look, we're going to cut your pay in half." That's the contract the UFC agreed to.
No, you
to.
Cut him, or you ask him, you push him towards retirement, like Chuck Liddell. They kind of pushed him in that direction.
What if the fighters being up front and saying, "Okay, but I'm going to go somewhere else and fight"? Do you want another promotion to get? You know, sometimes the UFC
I used to think they cared about that. Now I don't think they do.
Out other little fires.
I used to think that they cared about that. Now I think I'm not so sure they do.
All right.
Like I said, I'd put him up for trade.
Yeah.
Do another one.
Yeah. Alexander Volkanovski. He defeated Jose Aldo this past Saturday at UFC 237. And, well, this guy brought a gang now. Who are those guys?
I don't know.
Okay. He defeated Alex Volkanovski at UFC 237. Sorry, Volkanovski defeated Jose Aldo at UFC 237. On his way home, there was a layover in Chile. And before he boarded the plane, he wasn't feeling well. His foot was hurting. But when he landed in Chile, the pain was so unbearable that he got off the plane and went straight to the hospital. Actually, a doctor tended to him in Santiago, Chile at the airport and said, "You need to get to the doctor." Found out he had an infection. They gave him antibiotics. You've seen the pictures of him in the hospital.
It's an infection in his blood, right?
It was in his foot, but as far as like where and all that part, okay. I don't know. Yeah. Compounding the worst news, if you will. Remember, this is the guy that won. But post-fight, things didn't go well for him. First that, then he finds out he's not getting the title shot. UFC pretty much around the time we were doing our show on Monday night with Frankie Edgar's manager, Ali Abdelaziz, the news broke that Frankie Edgar would be facing Max Holloway in Edmonton, Canada on July 27th. Yeah, it's UFC 240. First of all, let's go to a little bit of an update here. Some audio that we have to City Kickboxing coach Eugene Behrman talking to Submission Radio. And this is his reaction on finding out that it's Edgar versus Ferguson. And then we'll give you a little bit of a health update on Volkanovski. Hit it, Andre.
Gutted, mate. Absolutely livid. 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 Like, we talked about this for such a long time. We talked about it. But our team talked about it. Our goal was to set the scenario up. And for all our knowledge, this is what the UFC were looking for. This is what they wanted. They needed Volko to win that fight. They needed Israel to get into the position. And then we got an Australasian supercard set up.
Yeah.
All because of the work that we've put in and the position we've put ourselves into. And that was all to get to this goal, to get to that supercard. And we were obviously, the UFC was on a different page. We didn't think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, absolutely gutted is what they said. And I understand their point. Look, who's gonna play dumb here and say, really, that caught you off guard? I mean, he's won 17 in a row, 7 just in the UFC alone. But the fact remains that the UFC went in another direction. We can speculate on many different reasons, but Jesus, we kind of heard it explicitly from Ali Abdelaziz. They felt like they owed one to Frankie because Frankie's been a company man for so many years. He saved a couple title fights. He's been unselfish, and they wanted to give it to him.
I think in the long run, this will end up being a good thing for Volkanovski. I can understand 100% why he's upset, why he's hurt. But I think in the long run, it'll be a good thing for him. Mm-hmm.
The update, and you're right, Goz, it was a blood infection, by the way. His condition is stable. He's responding well to treatment, but he's still under supervision at the hospital in Santiago, Chile. His manager gave an update and says he'll be reassessed in 48 hours. 48 hours will be tomorrow because this was posted yesterday. They want to make sure the infection is completely under control. If before he's giving any clearance to travel home. I would imagine that if he was going through Chile, there's a flight from Chile to New Zealand. And that still has to be a good 10 hours. Because I know Chile to Easter Island, I don't know why I know this fun fact, but that's 8 hours.
I thought it was right off the coast of Chile.
No, that's the Galapagos Islands you're thinking of.
That's on
the
Ecuador.
Coast of Ecuador, yeah. No, but Easter Island, which I think is overseen by Chile, is 8-hour flight. If you look at the map, you'll go, oh, I get it, because it is far.
Uh-huh.
But that's why I think they want to make sure that he's good to go before he's allowed to travel. So as of right now, he's still in a hospital in Santiago, Chile, and he's still slowly but surely recovering. So now I think we have a little bit more audio from the coach. That's kind of a – this is Eugene Behrman, his city boxing coach. He basically expands a little bit more on why Frankie doesn't deserve it more than Volkanovski.
I mean, and this has nothing to do with Frankie. I mean, I don't know Frankie. I don't know his coaches. I don't know his management or anything. And it's not about that Frankie doesn't deserve it. He probably does deserve it. He just doesn't deserve it more than Alex Volkanovski deserves it. Unfortunately for Frankie, him and his team advised him to take that risky fight against Brian Ortega, and fully understand why you've got to do that, because you can't wait around forever. Your family has to eat. You have to earn money, okay? But it's called a risk for a reason. And I know Volko already alluded to this, but it's called a risk for a reason. Unfortunately, he lost, and then he beat Cub Swanson, so now he's won one fight. Now he's going into the title fight. Wow. Volko has won 7. Outside of the UFC, he's 17 in a row. 7 straight. Just beat Aldo, who Frankie's fought twice and never managed the best.
Yeah.
The popular opinion out there amongst fans and all these experts and so-called experts and analysts is that Volko was the next in line, and we were on that same thought train, and then to have it whipped out from underneath us is devastating for our team. Devastating, to be honest.
Now listen, in this sport, aside from PFL and the organizations that run tournaments, it just basically becomes a business decision made by most companies. I guess some of the factors that contribute to this can be anywhere from loyalty to tenure to we owe you one to many reasons. The contract, holdouts, spite. I mean, we've seen it all. He is right in terms of there's what more can you ask from Volkanovski. Volkanovski wasn't one of
Nothing.
Those where you can go, like, look at Vicente Luque. He's 8-1, but he hasn't beaten the equivalent of Aldo in welterweight. He hasn't beaten the equivalent of Chad Mendes in welterweight. So you can go, Luque, I get it. You're 8-1, but you still got some work to do. Okay. Volkanovski, the opposite. Aldo was working off a 2-fight win streak against 2 good fighters. One was Jeremy Stephens, who's a veteran who's been around for a while, but was on a roll. The other one was Renato Moicano, who's still young in the sport and could still possibly get a world title. He won them both, and he finished them both. So his 7-1, he kind of hit a lot of the check marks, so I understand his frustration. Again, though, this isn't a tournament. This isn't like the NBA or NHL or NC2A basketball tournament. That just because you win doesn't mean anything. A lot of it goes back to many of the criteria listed before. We spoke to Frankie Edgar yesterday. He gave a little bit of reasoning on why he feels like it's his shot. Let's hear that. When people use the argument like, hey, you know, Frankie was a team player, UFC 222, Max had gotten hurt, you still went ahead and fought. Was that your own personal argument as well, or do you feel like your career stands on its own, or were there other reasons why you felt like you should be the guy?
I think all of it combined, you know, my body of work, what I've done in the past, what I've done for UFC, opportunities that I could have waited for, I didn't, and stepped in and fought. So I think the combination of all that stuff, you know, led me to get another title shot, you know. I've been doing the right things in this sport since day one, and never shied away from a challenge, or never shied away from an opponent who just wanted me to. So I feel like this definitely meant to be.
What do you think, Oz? Satisfied?
I sort of. I mean, I really think if you put the resumes up next to each other, there's no reason why you shouldn't go Volkanovski. But I understand why they're going Frankie Edgar. And I'm kind of okay with it. There's only certain scenarios where things like this happen where you go, all right. I think this is one. And I like Volkanovski, and I really think this is going to be something that's going to end up working in his favor.
So do I, because the UFC is going to Sydney on October 5th or 6th. And guess what? We asked Frankie Edgar if he would fight on the same, pretty much the same timeline as this past Monday when he was told he was fighting Max, to when he's fighting Max, is the same timeline as when he fights Max, until when that fight card in Sydney is. And he told us, without committing, he said, look, I want to fight a second time really bad in 2019. Yes, he would be open to it, but he also threw out New York. So he played it safe. I like that. It's a quote out there that you don't have to pin it to him, you know, pin him to the wall and go, you said, he left like an opening. You know what I mean? That's a veteran who knows how to do media. So I would say, Volkanovski fans, just hang tight. That's not too far in the distant future. And you might be able to get your guy a title shot in his home country against the winner of Max versus Frankie.
I agree.
Now, Goz did throw something out, and that's the rematch.
Nightmare scenario.
The nightmare scenario would be the rematch. But, hey, let's get to this fight first, and then we'll worry about it.
It's hell, not that far-fetched,
hell, let's
dude.
Just get to Saturday first, and let's get to Chicago next, and then International Fight Week. And then let's get to July before we even think of the nightmare scenario. And let's let Volkanovski get healthy. When we come back, we're going to talk about another big name in the UFC who apparently was called up to fight. He's a fighter that hasn't fought in a while, but he was called up to fight one of the participants in the main event this next weekend. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, channel 156.
Good, you're still here. The boys were just getting warmed up. Now the real show begins. Take it away, boys.
All right, here are the best of the MLS on SiriusXM FC. Early MVP candidate Carlos Vela leads high-flying LAFC against FC Dallas. Coverage kicks off tonight at 10 Eastern on SiriusXM FC 157 and streaming on your phone and at home on SiriusXM connected devices and speakers.
Who's your favorite pilot? Andre? Do you have yours?
My favorite pilot, I would have to go with the Iceman. Flawless pilot right there.
I mean, come on. It's not like we saw much flying. I guess. So Maverick's the easy way out, and he just took the other one.
Yeah, then Goose, you get all emotional about it.
R. There's Hollywood.
Well, Goose
Wolfman,
wasn't a pilot, though, right?
Sundown.
Or is he considered a co-pilot?
Yeah, I guess pick a character then. There's Jester.
Okay, then I like the
Viper.
Aggressive black guy. He's like, yo, man, we had a shot. That Sundown?
Yeah.
And give me that guy. Sounds like he knows what's up. He's ready to bounce back. He's not sitting there moping over Goose.
He can't read a room, though.
Huh?
He can't read a room. Like, he should have known.
You think he should have got off the plane chances. And said, hey, silly Goose, when are you going to shoot?
Nah,
I mean, he had
still.
To be somewhat aggressive, right?
I would have said, bitch, you're the co-pilot. What do you care? Your name ain't going up on that plaque.
Who else? Let me see here.
There's Merlin. There's Cougar. There's Wolfman, Hollywood.
Well, didn't... Oh, no, wait. Jester got caught, huh?
Hollywood and Wolfman are awful.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't know where they got called up from.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just go with Sundown, man.
Sundown?
I'm good with that, yeah. That is. It turns out that is Listener Scott. But I don't know if Listener Scott was part of this other group.
I think they were foreigners.
Foreigners?
Yeah.
I wish. I got just. If you listen to this show, you're more than invited to come in and say hello at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Please just walk into the studio. Or you can come up to the window and hold up your phone showing us the app. And that shows us that you know who we are and we'll invite you in. Or just walk in. I mean, the door is always open. And if you walk in, we'll kind of give you a stop right there sign, which means, hey, stay out of the field of the camera. We'll be on commercial soon, and then we'll come up and say hello. So, but regardless, we appreciate everybody's support. All right. Guess who almost signed on to fight in the UFC recently?
Anyone?
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal and somebody?
No.
Are you sure? Because I know the answer.
All right, I'll just say it. It was Nick Diaz. RDA, Rafael dos Anjos, was doing an interview with some reporters, like a scrum, prior to his fight here with Kevin Lee. So this was the UFC on ESPN Plus 10 Media Day. Here's a quote of what he told reporters. We talked about some other options. Ponzinibbio, Masvidal, and even Sean Shelby, called me to say, quote, hey, Nick Diaz might be interested in a fight with you, end quote. But that's the end of Shelby's quote. He continues, things did not work out, and the only name they threw at me was Kevin. He's a top contender at lightweight, coming up a division, and I can't sit on my sofa waiting for the perfect fight. I've got to work. So, all right, is that something to get excited about? Not really. Only in the fact that, hey, I guess if Nick approached Sean, then maybe he's closer to thinking about the return. His brother, Nate, which we haven't talked about much on this show, are bad. Maybe we came back so high off UFC 237 and Bellator 221 and having Ali in the studio and, you know, talking about his roster. We just kind of have made it all the way to Thursday, not talked about it much. But if you haven't heard, Nate Diaz, the younger brother, is supposed to fight Anthony Pettis at UFC 241. By the way, goes, I don't know if it was a poster or what I saw, but that was badass.
The John Jones one?
DC and Miocic, Costa and Romero, Diaz and Pettis. I was like, God, I mean, if you live in Southern California, Anaheim to be more exact, how can you complain about UFC 241? That is a stacked card. That's what I consider a 1-2-3 punch. SoCalers, LA people, San Diego people, but especially OC people, and even you, my Inland Empire patrons out there. Let me tell you something. That is a nice 1-2-3 punch. You have a title fight, Daniel Cormier, the heavyweight champion, against Stipe Miocic. You got Nate Diaz from the 209 versus Anthony Pettis, who just knocked out Stephen Thompson. And you got Paulo Costa against Yoel Romero, two hard-hitting middleweights. That is the first three fights announced for August 17th at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California.
I thought you were going another route. I thought,
now,
did you see this
Diaz, Nick Diaz, by the way, is the one that was mentioned there by Rafael dos Anjos. So maybe little brothers fighting, money's running low, I don't know. But according to Sean Shelby, he told Rafael dos Anjos that Nick was interested in fighting him, but it didn't come together.
You don't think this is a cool poster?
Jones versus Santos, Nunes versus Holm. Yeah, that's cool.
I thought that's what you were talking about. I haven't seen the other poster.
Oh, no. It was just all six fighters lined up side by side by side.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, dude, that is legit. That is that. Aren't those three great fights?
Yeah, it is.
Can't argue with that, man. All right. So that's kind of like a little bit of a news update. Let's take a couple quick calls here before we go to the next break. It's Showtime in Tennessee. What's up, Showtime? It's yo time.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
What up?
Not much. How about you?
Good, man. I was trying to call in last night, too, man. I didn't want to be a Debbie Downer on you guys' little party, but, man, it's time for Dan Tong homeboy to call it quits, man.
BJ Penn?
Yeah, it's time for BJ to call it quits, man.
But why off of this fight and not the previous three is my question. Like, this one, he actually competed.
But he still looked like shit, though, man.
His cardio ran out. But, he didn't get taken down and just pummeled like other people have done. But he didn't really get knocked down or...
He's banged up, though.
I guess I saw
it. And he's got personal issues. I think it might be time to go.
You know what I'm going to tell you, though? I was sitting there looking at this money. Anderson made $620,000. It's hard to walk away from that, man. I mean, even though Anderson, from looking at it, Anderson and BJ supposed to be, you know, pretty well off, man. But it's
where'd you get
hard
those salaries?
To walk away from that. From where did
salaries?
I get this from? damn, where did I get it from? I don't know. I screenshotted it on some MMA site, man. Clay Greeter made 138. BJ, they got 170, 150 to show, 20 for a fight night incentive.
Here it is.
They got
all
Rose.
Right, I got you.
Rose
damn,
made
some
195.
Good money being swung around.
Now check this out, man. I can see why a lot of these fighters, man, but think, this is fucking peanuts, man, to what boxers make, man. high level.
Well, that's a whole other. Yeah, you have a point. No one's arguing that. But this is that's a whole other discussion. But just let's just concentrate on Anderson Silva. I see the number right here. I'm going off thesportsdaily.com. Anderson Silva, folks, got paid $620,000. $600 to show and $20,000 to fight. So let's say a month out, his knee kind of gave out. Trainer comes over and goes, "You all right? You know, yeah. Well, hey, I can call and." No, let me go through a couple days. Let me see if I can get through this, put a brace on. But you know that if maybe somebody looks at you and you're told that maybe you need to go through a surgery or whatever. I mean, remember, they're fighting in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The next fight card is in Chicago. The next fight card is in Las Vegas and then Edmonton. And so he's probably going, "Oh, that fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. I can just stay right here. I don't have to move my camp or anything." But he also knows that somebody's going to hand him a check for $600,000. And plus, all those other countries would be foreign taxes to him.
Yeah.
So now his next fight, we know he's got to be making at least $600,000 somewhere, unless in his contract it said something less. Penn's is a little less, $170,000. But still, $170,000 is still $170,000.
Nice.
And if they want him to fight again, he's probably thinking $170,000 to just go out there and possibly beat somebody. And, yeah, they might be me. Sure. Where do I sign up? Showtime and Goes would fight Clay Guida for $170,000.
I would.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'd go out there and get choked out or knocked out for $170,000. But you know what was disrespectful out of all this money, man? I'm sitting there looking at all this money, and I'm looking at what Jose Aldo made, man, and that just broke my heart, man. $110,000, man. $130,000. Come on, man. That's no fucking respect, man. That's no respect, man. Come on, man. That's pathetic, man.
Well, I don't disagree. That should be more because Nogueira made $128,000 to show. Aldo made $110,000 to show. The only thing I can think of that may have hurt Aldo is he's kind of had long spells where he hasn't fought, and it could be that he just didn't go through newer contracts. He was always on a champion's contract where he made the champion's pay of points. So I'm sure there's been fights where he's probably crossed over into seven digits. But, yeah, looking back at this, when he resorts to just being a challenger, he's back to $110,000 or whatever. That's all I can think of. All right, tell you what, that'll be kind of interesting. Maybe we'll hit that in the last segment. We got to go to break, though. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation Channel 156. Stay close. We'll be talking to PFL featherweight Steven Seiler.
Both iPhone and Android carry a feature to make their show more enjoyable. It's called the mute button. Here are those two numbnuts, Gorgeous George and Goes.
All right, we're back. Ready to talk to Steven Seiler, PFL featherweight. PFL season one, PFL featherweight finalist. Took home $200,000. Wasn't a million, but it was still $200,000. Got paid well along the way and got invited back to be a part of season two. Week two is a week from tonight. So May 23rd in Uniondale, New York, you get to see a main event featuring Lance Palmer and Alex Gilpin. And also on that same card is Steven Seiler against Gadzi Rabadenov. There you go. Boy, some of those tricky names that the PFL throws my way. I struggle with them. Joining us now on the hotline, Steven Seiler. What's up, Steven? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much, man. Welcome back to MMA Junkie Radio. You're on with George and Goes. And we're excited to see your name pop up, part of the roster for Season 2. I think you definitely earned your spot. And even though it wasn't your night on December 31st, you came pretty damn close, my man. And I'm anxious to see how Season 2 goes for you.
Yeah, Season 1 was definitely a fun ride, especially fighting, five times in 6 months. It was crazy. Good experience, good fight with Lance. Obviously, I wish it went my way, but hopefully this year's a little bit better.
So your W-2s must have been pretty impressive. I mean, you fought the five times in 2018. You got the big payday of $200,000 for making it, to the finals, and that must have been a nice boost for your family compared to some of the other years, right?
Yeah, but tax season sucks, man, and especially when you're not paying taxes along the way. you know, the wife's doing real estate and killing it and that, so we definitely made good money, but tax season is definitely going to suck. I know, Cody, we put a delay, but...
Oh, you did the delay, huh? You lazy bastard, Steven Seiler. Why didn't you do it? You had till April 15th. You have an off season in the PFL. You had plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, but I've been out in Colorado since March. My tax guy's here in Utah. I've been getting ready for the season since I got to Colorado, so I've been out there the whole time.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a good enough excuse. The second good excuse would be that you can beat me up, so I'm just going to drop the subject. all right. Tell me about Gadzi Rabadanov. What's this guy like? What have you studied up on him, and what does he bring to the table? And you know, what are his attributes that concern you the most?
Honestly, I watched one fight of his when I was heading home from the airport from Colorado back to here. I was able to watch one. Didn't know who he was. I haven't really looked much into him due to the fact that you guys noticed for the longest time I had TBA next to my name, so they kind of threw out different opponents, and we never. We weren't quite sure who I was going to get. And then a couple weeks ago, they threw out Gahidi or whatever his name is. And right then, I sent it to my coach, Mark Montoya, but we weren't even positive. I wasn't even sure who I was fighting until I think MMA Junkie posted the actual card, but they posted somebody got hurt, and they posted the rest of the cards, and his name was actually next to mine. So I didn't even find out until I logged onto your guys' website.
Gotcha. All right. Well, when you've been in there with – Miller, Brown, Holabaugh, Elkins, Palmer, Andre Harrison, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like – I don't think there's any concern as far as him being even more of a standout than them. I guess I was just wondering how much you get into the breakdown of the opponent. Maybe that's more of a Mark Montoya thing then?
Yeah, Mark usually sends it to one of our coaches, another one of our coaches, and he does the breakdown as well. But Coach Caruso actually breaks down – bit by bit and send you a big old text that I hate reading, but I know I should, breaking down how the fight should go and how everything goes like that.
How technical is it? Is it how the fight should go from your standpoint, or does he talk about like what both parties bring to the table?
Both parties bring to the table, what I should do, how the finish should come, everything. The kid's legit, man. He knows his stuff.
Why is this something that you're a little bit more hesitant towards embracing? Like in football, those guys that practice Monday through Friday and they play on Sunday, well, guess what? Most of Monday through Friday, well, not most, but at least half, is basically in a room with the coaches and them, you know, hitting that clicker and just looking at all the possibilities, looking at the playbook, going over the game plan. And I'm wondering why a lot of MMA fighters don't also, like, they don't concern with themselves with that as much. Is it more of a mental thing?
Especially having as many fights as I've had and how many years I've been doing it, I'm not going to do much different and kind of change up my game plan to maybe make a mistake that's something I'm not very good at just because what the opponent does. So I'm just going to keep on, you know, enforcing my will against the guy and hopefully I get the W.
Okay. All right. Steven Seiler is our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. He's got a fight coming up a week from tonight. Uniondale, New York. That is Long Island. And this is season 2 of the PFL, and it's called PFL 2019, week 2. All right, Goz, what do you have for Steven Seiler?
Steven, I remember last time, well, not the last time we spoke to you, but last season, one of the first times when we spoke to you, you talked about everything you gave up to make this first season happen and the stress that came with it with family and all that type of stuff. That being said, because you made it to the finals last time, you get that automatic bid to come back. But was there ever any point where you had to sit down and really analyze whether you wanted to come back into this situation again, or was it just a for sure thing?
No, it was automatic. Especially, I mean, I knew once I made the playoffs last year, they already told me they're bringing me back for season 2. So even before the season was over, we knew I was going to get back to doing it again. Now, this year has been a little bit harder being away from the family in Colorado as much as I have been. I mean, I'm about to have another baby here in about 4 weeks. So she's beyond pregnant, taking care of both kids, and doing everything her own, working 2 jobs. So it kind of makes me do feel a little bit more guilty being away. But at the same time, I saw how much it was worth last year, and she does too. And so, I mean, it does suck being away, and I feel guilty, but we both know it's for the best.
Gotcha. And at the end of the season, did PFL ever pull everybody aside and just ask for your guys' feedback? I know a lot of the fans had thrown some things out, a couple of rule changes here and there. Did they ever pull you guys aside, and did you offer any feedback for what they should do in season two?
No, they definitely didn't pull me aside, but I'm not much of a talker opinion person anyways. I kind of just say, hey, just do what you guys think's best, and I'll go with the flow.
Steven, your fight's on ESPN2 this year. That's got to be a lot easier for your friends and family, you know, when they're asking you about it, to point them to a channel that's been around for a long time and is very, very popular. I mean, it's in most satellite and cable systems.
Oh, you guys have no idea how stoked I was to find out PFL was going to be on ESPN. Me being a huge sport fan, I literally watch every sport, huge ESPN fan. Second I found out about the ESPN deal, I think I ran upstairs and showed it to my wife. I was freaking out. I was so stoked about it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And how many kids do you have now, total?
I have two right now. My boy, whose birthday was yesterday, that's why I'm actually home right now. It was his birthday yesterday. He just turned 5. I have my little girl, who's 1. And then, like I said, I have another one coming here in a few weeks.
Oh, that's cool. So the 5-year-old, he's watching ESPN2, I take it, right? He knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah, he knows about. He came to the gym with me today with me and Ramsey, and was fighting the little dummy bag while me and Ramsey and our few buddies were training. He knows all about fighting.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. All right. Well, listen, you're still with Mark Montoya, and you're still doing, you know, the camps over there. That's very admirable. It's quite a sacrifice. And we know it because you shared that story with us. And I want to give a shout-out to your wife. I don't know her name, and I don't know if you want to say it, but that's fine if you don't. But, man, she really does seem to be an all-star for allowing you to do what you did. I know how much this paid off for you guys, so I'm just happy for your entire family. But, again, shout-out to her because she really is holding it down, and she's allowing you to chase this dream, and she's allowed you to leave the state to you know, to hook up with this other team and do what you guys are doing. So that's outstanding, man. That young lady deserves some praise.
No, yeah, Mary's as tough as they come. I mean, the way that she's holding on the Ford, and like I said last year, it was her idea for me to go out there and see if I could keep this fighting dream alive. I mean, I was so close to retirement. If it wasn't for her to push me through one last time and is able to get my confidence back, and I feel like I got some swagger now in the cage. I'm excited every single time I've been there again. And it wasn't for her, I'd probably be off, you know, working some day job where I'm hating my life and weighing nonstop. And, I owe everything to her.
Yeah. You fought 50-something. I think this will be your 52nd fight or something like that. But you're only 32 years of age. Why was retirement an option? Did you feel like you had just plateaued or your body's not holding up? Why does that R word creep up into your mind at all?
Yeah, really, and especially once the UFC left, fighting for other organizations, I wasn't making as much money as I was usually when fighting. And
right. So
supporting the family, where I think Will Sears only fought for him twice in a little over a year, making at that time 10-10, and I lost both those fights. Going broke, we bought a house in the UFC, we were falling behind on a bunch of things, and learning how rough life really is. I mean, I think, man, maybe I should sit down and get a real job and actually make some real money. And then once the PFL threw out their format and how much money we'd be making, it definitely made sense to give it one more shot.
So you literally have them to thank for the resurgence in your life. Your life completely changed because of the PFL, right?
It wasn't for PFL definitely changed my life. Also, Factory X wasn't for them. The teammates we have, the Mark Montoya, all the coach, all the coaching staff, everyone there at the gym, like the way they get me excited to go to the gym every day. I'm excited to learn again. I'm excited just to have a head coach who I actually trust and I know who's going to guide me in the right direction to get me a W. So between the PFL, my family, and Factory, I owe them my life, man.
Since December 31st until even today's workout, is part of your camp, part of your workouts, part of your training, is that designed to beat a guy like Lance Palmer who could very well be there in the end? Like, like specific to, you know, basically he's just wrestling oriented, you know what I mean? How much did you just work on that, since that's what stopped you from making another $800,000 on December 31st?
You know, I feel last year, literally the entire camp out there was based around someone like Lance. I mean, the whole year we kept on saying, hey, it's going to be me and Lance in the finals. And we literally from before even the June fights, I think it was out there in May, all the way till the end, we knew it was like, hey, it's going to be me and Lance. I just had a feeling, me and Lance in the finals the whole time. And the whole camp seemed based around that, with some other tweaks to help me just become a better fighter overall. This year, I think it's been a little bit different, where we've been just going over everything, all techniques, mostly stand-up even, more than wrestling. But we do also have Joe Warren coaching wrestling now, so we do have days where we do specify wrestling. But, I mean, literally I'm going everywhere with this camp.
Do you have lots of practices where someone like a Lance tries to take you down and you stop it? And does that, like, just boost your confidence when that does happen?
It does, but at the same time, I've been in the cage with Lance twice. I know how good his wrestling is compared to everyone else in the world. So I know there's always a chance I need to get better.
All right. Well, we're always rooting for you, my man. It's great catching up with you. I'm glad you had a good off season. And good luck next Thursday. We'll be tuning in. And don't forget to get them taxes done, my man. Don't pay any extra penalties or anything, you know. The object is to keep as much of that money as possible.
It sounds good. I got my tax guy all over it.
That was his polite way of going, shut the fuck up. I'm on it. All right, Stephen. Take care, my man. You're awesome, dude. Great talking to you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you. All right. Stephen Seiler, PFL featherweight. Fighting next Thursday. Tune in. ESPN2's where they'll start off, then they'll wind up on ESPN+. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to knock off a few more of those awards from the World MMA Awards. They are looming. It's coming up. MMA Junkie and one of our journalists is up for an award. We'll give you a reminder there, and then we'll cover a couple of the different categories that's out there.
If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on demand, streaming anytime on your phone or at home on Sirius XM connected devices and speakers.
This is how we do it.
Good, you're still here. The boys are just getting warmed up. Now the real show begins. Take it away, boys.
All right, so let me reset the stage here. Yesterday, we were going over the World MMA Awards, www.worldmmaawards.com. It is voting season. We would appreciate your vote for best media source. MMA Junkies up against Bloody Elbow, MMA Fighting, Sure Dog, and Flow Sports. Flow Combat, to be more exact. John Morgan, one of our journalists, is also up. He's up against Chuck Mendenhall, Brad Okamoto, Ariel Hawani, and Kareem Zidane. We went over a couple categories yesterday. We're going to knock off a few more today. And this is fun, man. It doesn't take that long to just click your vote, and boom, support the World MMA Awards, support the sport. A lot of people really attend these awards, and it's a lot of fun. So hopefully you all participate. Breakthrough Fighter of the Year goes Thiago Santos, Israel Adesanya, Anthony Smith, AJ McKee, Aaron Pico. Remember, these are the 2018.
Okay, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think the easy choice is Israel. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, I'm going to go AJ McKee.
See, I'm going to go with Israel because I interpret Breakthrough as someone who we didn't know much of, and he just broke through. Mm-hmm. All these others were established, and they may have broken through and gotten, you know, became more of a contender or something like that. But I thought Israel just kind of came out of nowhere. We had the benefit of a guy named Lucas from New Zealand that listens to the show who told us about him. But, I mean, he had just had an incredible run in 2018. I'm going with him.
I don't hate you.
International Fighter of the Year. Habib Nurmagomedov, Kamaru Usman, Israel Adesanya, Gegard Mousasi, or Aung La Sang from ONE Championship?
No, I'm just kidding. You got to go Habib, dude. A close second to me would be Kamaru, just because of...
He didn't capture the title to this year, though.
The way he flies his banner, I think, is impressive.
Okay.
But I go Habib.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, let's do one more. Fight of the year. Robert Whittaker versus Yoel Romero 2 at UFC 225. Thiago Santos versus Jimmy Manuel. Oh,
that's tough.
That was a good one. UFC 231. Douglas Lima versus Rory McDonald. Bellator 192. Good. Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje. UFC on Fox 29. Tony Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis. UFC 229.
I really enjoyed Pettis and Ferguson, but I think I'm going to go Gaethje Poirier.
I'm with you.
Really, guys?
Santos and Manua hit each other so hard, though.
Who are you going for?
That I felt like they were just swinging baseball
Pettis.
Bats at each other.
Pettis? Go Pettis?
Pettis and Ferguson?
Pettis Ferguson was a bloodbath, man. That was glorious.
Yeah, well, so was Poirier and Gaethje, man.
I wouldn't hate you.
All these fights right were really, really good. Yeah, but
Pettis had that Superman punch kind of thing when he jumps off the cage. It was beautiful.
All right.
I ain't hating on you.
They're all great fights. Yeah,
they are.
All great fights. Knockout of the year, Yair Rodriguez versus Chan Sung Jung, UFC Fight Night 139. Chris Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes, UFC 232. Mandel Nalo versus Carrington Banks. That was a good one, by the way. Bellator 207. Vitor Belfort versus Lyoto Machida, UFC 224. Brian Ortega versus Frankie Edgar, UFC 222. This is knockout of the year.
I mean, when have you seen Chris Cyborg go down, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, at least with Frankie Edgar, you've seen him hurt pretty bad before. Mm-hmm. You got to give it to Amanda Nunes on Chris Cyborg.
Well,
I just said you got to. You have no choice.
I got to do it. All right. Amanda Nunes. But. Yair Rodriguez's elbow, dude.
Was that the end? It kind of saved
him. It won him the fight. It saved his relevance in the UFC. He wouldn't have gotten cut. But I think if he loses that, everybody went, yeah. You know, like, get back in the line. Instead, he'll probably get a big high-profile fight, and this is their highest-profile fighter from Mexico.
All right.
But Nunes was spectacular, because I'm not taking anything away from that. It's a 1-2. It's a horse race between those two. I thought Yair's was just more of a, can you believe what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda just lit her up from start to finish, and she did it against someone that we've never seen go down like that. So it was two different types of knockouts, both spectacular. It's all just in what you're looking for. But I would stand and applaud for either one.
I look at it this way. When people go, remember that elbow Yair had? I bet you half of the people won't remember who it was against. But when people go, do you remember when Cyborg got knocked out? People right away would go, Amanda Nunes, I remember that. That was a deciding factor for me.
All right, Andre keeps sending me texts, so let's just do this one. He's bugging me to do this one. Ring Card Girl of the Year.
Woo!
Carly Baker, Jessica Andrade, Summer Daniels, Ariane Celeste, Mercedes Terrell. Look, they're all hot. We'll start with that.
Mm-hmm.
But who probably represents their company or just seems to enjoy their job or does their job the best?
Mercedes Terrell, guys.
Yeah, Mercedes Terrell owns Instagram, George. If you want to post something on Instagram, you got to go through her. Mm-hmm. She owns it.
You're going with Mercedes?
I'm going with Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going with Jenny Andrade. Mercedes will probably get a little bit more love, except she hasn't been back to the studio since she used to live in Vegas. We need to get her back in studio. Ariane's so popular, I just feel like she's got her mind on other stuff. I don't know too much about Summer Daniels. And Carly Baker does her job, but I don't see her that often. I just feel like Jenny's, like, immersed. Man, I think she's even got a UFC tattoo somewhere on her. But
she does.
Yeah, but she makes the time to visit the studio, so I'm partial there. All right, folks, we'll do some more categories tomorrow. And again, quick reminder, MMA Junkie is up for Media Source of the Year. John Morgan's up for Journalist of the Year. Get in there and vote. It's easy. www.worldmmaawards.com. Big thanks to Steven Sayla for his time. Thank you to Darren Kratz for his time. We'll be back in 22 hours with another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. For Andre and Goz, I'm George. Have a nice day and be a champion.